Save it for the podcast.
Yeah. Sorry, I just love talking about games so much.
I know. Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Really?
Yeah. Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming. Today, I'm joined by Steven.
I'm back.
Kaylee.
Hi.
And Seth.
Hey.
So, Steven's back from his quest. Do you want to fill us in? Because we are actually very curious as to what you've been doing for the past couple weeks.
Curious.
I know.
Over to you, Steven.
Thanks. Thanks, Draz. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's true. BeepleQuest 2015 has officially come to a wonderful and incredibly satisfactory conclusion. But may I begin this news update by simply stating that what began as a mere Kickstarter ended as a truly transformational experience unlike any other. We're talking about dreaming, guys. Think about your wildest dream. This surpassed it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I dream of some things, too. During even my wildest times of slumber, I'm just going on.
Okay.
The very depths of my being. And to be quite honest, it's difficult to even fathom. I'm still in a relatively mild state of shock, even as I sit here with you right now. I learned to love. I learned to let go. And I learned that you never, ever, not even when just casually teasing, want to get into any form of tussle with a Numidian pit viper.
Okay.
Though most importantly, I was able to achieve remarkable insight into the public's opinion on the word that started it all, Beeple. So with the preliminaries out of the way, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. After numerous painstaking minutes of intense polling, I have drummed up these results. The word Beeple tests extremely well in Eastern Australia, Poland, Indonesia, and Scotland, which I believe we can all agree doesn't really come as a surprise. However, something that was rather intriguing is that the word also tested insurmountably well with the Canadian Mounted Police, otherwise known as Mounties. Now, some of you may be saying, how can we ever believe you, Stephen, without some form of numerical evidence to back these unbelievable claims?
That's what I was just about going to say.
Right? Well, listen to these figures. Among all of the demographics and countries mentioned above, I received a minimum of 11% semi-positive feedback on the word people. Now, they actually even hit me with overwhelmingly encouraging reviews such as, and this is a direct quotation here, "It isn't too bad, but I'm not entirely sure what it means." And from another source, "Yeah, sure, it's just great. Now, if you don't mind, please remove yourself from my stall." These are direct quotations, ladies and gentlemen. I kid you not. And so there you have it. Beeple is literally sweeping the nation and the world. So how do you like that one? All you haters just got one magnificent dose of humble pie. That is all.
You dropped the mic. It's hard to argue with 11%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Minimum. But Mounties, those guys are my heroes, so.
Oh, I think we can agree. So yeah. Should we just hold hands now?
No.
Yes.
Take an oath?
Mm-mm.
An oath? What do you
mean? Well,
I'm not going
I'm not
that far.
It's all right. Like, I don't hate it.
But I'm glad you had a good time on your quest.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was quite lovely.
Right.
Indeed.
However, during my time away, by the way, I just have to point out, during my time away, I forgot just how much of a diva Seth is when he's on this podcast. I came back, and it's just been, and Kaylee as well, though, to be honest. I'm just going to throw her into the loop.
Too. Oh, my goodness.
Just a bunch of whiners. I mean, I was climbing mountains.
Are we talking about,
what?
Okay, this is
what just happened here?
Do we really need to remember podcast 13, or can we just move on, and you let all this go, Steven?
Gosh.
That's what I thought. All right, moving on.
Moving on to the weekend.
I know the numbers of these podcasts.
We're going to talk about a handful of games just like we always do. But I thought, to switch it up just a little bit, I thought we'd talk about how our weekends are going and if we've done anything interesting.
Nope.
Anybody? No? We're all just boring people.
Well, I didn't do anything really interesting.
Okay.
My dad has kind of an interesting story, though.
Okay.
So I'll just share that. Shout out to my dad.
Right.
So this weekend in Billings, Montana is the Blues Festival. Happens in South Park, which happens to be across the street from our church. And so one of the bands, like the tour bus or something, got like jacked up and it was unavailable. So a band needed a building to like change clothes, eat, any of that kind of stuff before and after their set. So we volunteered the church to them. And so my dad went down there to unlock the doors, all that kind of stuff. And then when the band showed up, it was the band OAR, otherwise known as Of a Republic. Some of our amazing listeners out there,
because right.
we have so many,
yeah.
may know this band. So they showed up, and they were doing their thing, and they went off, and they played their set. And when they came back, they packed up all their gear, and they were going to leave. And the drummer realized, hey, you have a drummer here, right? And my dad's like, yeah, oddly enough, it's my son, actually. So the drummer hands him his pair of drumsticks and says, well, I don't want to just be sitting on these, so just give these to your son. And they are officially licensed OAR drumsticks with, like, the logo. It has his little autograph on it and the whole thing. And I just randomly dropped these drumsticks. So that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Have you played with them yet?
I have. And oddly enough, they're, like, the exact same size that I use.
Nice.
So it's pretty much perfect. So anyways, yeah, that's what happened with me.
Right.
That was pretty cool.
That is cool. Well, my daughter and I pitched a tent last night in our backyard. And slept out under the stars.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. That was her first camping kind of experience. She just turned 5, so it was fun. She was up a lot later than, you know, normal, and
yeah.
we got to eat trail mix at 10 at night and wander around the backyard with flashlights. So.
A couple of party animals.
I know.
Trail mix at 10 o'clock?
I know.
What?
Yeah.
My parents don't even let me do that.
So it was good.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
It just worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. Can I come in and get some jeans yet? Is it jeans? See, all my jeans have holes in them from crawling
cool.
around on the floor. You know.
And now.
Well, you know, like the standard place for holes in jeans is on the knee.
Oh yeah.
For whatever reason, all my older pairs of jeans have holes now on my back pocket where I keep my wallet.
Okay.
Which yeah, is same. Very unfortunate, though, when right. you think about it.
It is.
If you have a hole where your wallet is,
right.
you could just is, fall yeah. right on out. It right. moves its way right out of the pocket.
Yeah, like the same here, the corners of my wallet
yeah.
wear a hole in it.
Interesting. So then, Kaylee, do you have any jeans with really like double-stitched back pockets? What are they doing to counter wallet holes?
Clearly, it's just an epidemic.
I'm not sure, but jeans are on sale right now.
What?
Oh, man.
$19.
What? Okay, right now?
Yeah, right
$19.
Now.
Right. Guys, we might have to put this on pause.
Ends tonight.
It's a tight window.
Yeah.
There's
no skinny for men, but they're skinny oh. for boys.
Oh, my gosh.
Dang.
Well, I'm not getting any jeans then.
Yeah. Rip me.
Well, oddly enough, by the way, the brand of jeans I wear is Old Navy.
Yeah, I like Sponsor. Old Navy jeans.
It's the only jeans I can find that fit me.
Mm-hmm.
Same here.
I don't even know what kind of jeans I wear.
However, I won't get into
Steven has an unfortunate.
Yeah, I won't even get into all the details, really.
All right, let's
but
hear
I
it.
Ordered jeans online, and I ordered 3 pairs, and they were all, I selected the proper size. So this was not my fault.
Okay.
The first part of it. So they arrive, and I don't want to badmouth Old Navy. I love Old Navy. I wear their jeans every day.
Right.
But
badmouth them.
And they arrive. I try on the first 2 pairs, and they fit. As they should. And I ordered 3 pairs the same size. So me, for whatever reason, trying to conserve like the 30 seconds it takes to try on jeans, was uh-huh. like, I don't need to try on the 3rd pair because it's going to fit the same.
Right.
So I tore the tags off. Then my mom, I washed my own clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom was like, I only have like 2 pairs of jeans. Steven, do you want to throw your jeans in with mine? I'm mm-hmm. like, sure. So I have these new jeans. So we put them in the washer, get them out. We're hanging them over the like chairs and stuff so they can dry. And it's funny. I said I wouldn't go into details.
Right.
This is far more detail. But
you got to keep going.
It's
now.
Far more detail yeah. than he gave me.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's fantastic.
I hadn't even heard this story. So
aren't you just really invested now?
Right.
Yeah. And the pair I didn't try on. Look at the tag. It's the LeBron waist size.
Oh.
It's too big. And
wow,
now,
like a 40?
No. Now that the tags are off and I've washed them, I can't even return them.
What if he just doesn't tell you they've been washed?
Well, then that's lying.
Yeah.
And we do not.
And we can.
I'm just
lying.
Wondering. You smell.
You know, like,
oh, yeah.
We know this. It happens far too often.
Right.
You punch a button underneath the counter, alarms go off.
The store just enters lockdown mode.
Yeah.
Trunk, trunk, trunk.
Hmm. Well, I think we probably talked enough about jeans.
Yeah.
This is actually a board game podcast.
I don't know. It seems like an apparel cast to me.
Okay. So before we talk about games that we haven't talked about on the podcast yet, we need to mention Colt Express once again.
What?
Baited. Probably.
Be quiet, Steven.
The game that we have probably collectively played more than any other game as a group. And we're mentioning it again because it just won Game of the Year, which is pretty cool. This is the Spiel des Jahres, which is the German Board Game of the Year, which everybody, you know, just assumes is the kind of
the
peak of board game awards. And Colt Express won. And they are doing or have developed an expansion to the game that will now include horses and stagecoaches. So not only do you have the train with the bandits on it, you now are going to be able to ride horses alongside the train and probably rob some stagecoaches.
That's super cool.
I know.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that I thought would have just been even better, you know, having more opportunities to do these crazy Wild West things.
Right.
So riding horses, jumping off and on your horse from a moving train.
Right.
That's super cool.
That is very cool. And I don't know. I thought about that too, but then you look at what's in the base box and it's already so full.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they could have fit anything more into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to wait and see.
Right. And I guess kind of to segue, there's another game that has just been released called Flick 'em Up, which is a dexterity game where you play cowboy meeples and you set up a little 3D town and you're actually flicking discs at each other. And these are bullets that you're shooting at each other. And you can hide inside the saloons and the doors flap and you can shoot bullets into the saloon. And you actually get a little hat that you can put on your guy so you can shoot a guy's hat off. Just like you would in an Old West kind of film.
Nice.
So I feel like combining these games might be fun. You rob the train, and then you get to the last station, you jump out, and then you play Flick 'em Up and have a shootout once you get to the station.
Well, it's kind of funny, though, because you shoot each other, supposedly, just full of holes while you're on the train.
Uh-huh.
And then when you get out, then it's like the real bullets.
That's right.
You shoot rubber bullets before. You blanked, you know. But
guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Colt Express, my family bought the game, and they have recently been on a long road trip and played it with all of our extended family, and they all really liked it.
Awesome.
Like, played it. People from the Midwest, old people, young people, people on the West Coast.
Nice.
Just everywhere. And everyone just was really enthralled with it, regardless of.
Right.
It's literally sweeping the nation.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the largest stipulation for winning Game of the Year is that it has to be family friendly and accessible. And this is certainly both. And I think your family probably just proved that.
Yep.
So if you haven't played or purchased Colt Express yet, certainly get a play in because it is very unique and it's just fun to look at.
It is.
Yeah. On to games that we have played, but not talked about yet. I don't know. Which one do you guys want to talk about first? We've got two here, and then we're going to finish off with D&D.
What?
Yeah.
Does that stand for Do Not Disturb?
I think it does.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just wondering.
Brand new game. just
let's talk about...
hotel
okay, games. So we were playing a game with Alex at Origins. I think we were playing Coconuts at the time.
We were.
And a designer walked over to us. We must just look like professional podcasters.
We had matching shirts.
He was he had heard about our podcast.
Right.
He knew that we are reputable and approached us.
Exactly.
Well, because much like Colt Express, we are also sweeping the nation.
Indeed.
Not only the nation, but the world.
Not only the world.
So this designer approaches us and you guys done with your conversation?
Nope.
Okay.
Let's continue. The moon as well.
Okay.
I'm quite positive the guys on the space station are listening, though.
Station Commander Kelly, this is for you.
Yeah. If you're listening, or rather, since you are listening, it's pretty much guaranteed. Yeah.
So this gentleman approached our table and started a conversation with Alex and I, and handed a game to us and said, I would love for you guys to play this and review it and let people know what you think. So we took the game, and unfortunately, I can't find his name here in the rule book.
We naturally waited the proper allotment of time.
Right.
It's been about 2 months.
Right.
Now we're finally going to review the game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we took the game, and we actually didn't get to play it until about 1 in the morning that evening. So it's 1 in the morning. I'm going through the rule book. I have a few, you know, glances at it, and I'm like, okay, we got this. Let's set up and start playing. So,
like Uno.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. He said it's... Exactly.
Don't need to read the rules.
No, rules, whatever. So we sit down, deal out the cards, and start playing, and this game is just going on forever.
Yeah.
And like Kaylee said, it's like Uno, so you're playing specific colors on top of other colors, and instead of numbers, though, they're characters like vampires and pirates and robots, and you're using those instead of numbers. Each card has a special ability. And I think the way we were playing was each time you play a card, you activate that card's special ability.
Yeah, that's how we did it.
So these things are like, let's see, there is choose any player to skip their next turn. So stuff like this. And this was just happening every single card we played. Mm-hmm. And how long did we play before we
at
were
least
like...
I was gonna say, half an hour.
Yeah.
I was probably more. I think like 45 minutes.
Yeah,
or so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we're
it
playing
was a
this.
Long time.
We've gone through the deck of cards twice. And we're just like, this is an awful game. What is happening
well, the
here?
The funny thing is, when it first started, because of all the crazy nonsense that was going on, it seemed like a lot of fun for a minute.
Right.
And then as it progressed, we're like, it never ends.
It's
what is going on?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember one time you played some cards,
Let's not
Steven.
Get into that. Oh, that's,
this was so funny.
Yeah.
Maybe Kaylee can remember this story better
what?
Than I can.
I do not trust Kaylee.
I don't trust Kaylee.
Yeah.
Seth, you will regret this.
Okay, I remember. So he has like 3 robot cards,
okay.
Right? And so the robot has special ability
Reboot,
uh-huh. Where it'll reverse the direction of the cards, but then you get to play again. So it's like basically skips the next person and it goes back. So you play again. So he plays a robot. He plays another robot on top of it.
Right.
And then I think he actually plays one more, like, ha! And then realizes he does not have any more robots or their counterpart or the right color that he's just playing. So he then proceeds to draw at least 20 cards from the deck looking for the right color or a robot.
I trapped myself because, like Uno, you know, you have to play red on red and so on and so forth. So I had, it might have maybe been red. I want to say it was green, though.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have the color, and after I played the card, I, of course, realized this is this is like 2 in the morning. We're all laughing, having a good time, and I'm like,
You have to imagine the scene, right? He's this super, like, funny combo, right? He's just playing 3 cards in succession.
And we're all
and then he's just like, oh, wait. So it's still his turn, because he just played this reboot card.
Right.
So he has to play, or he has to draw.
Yeah, so I went to draw a card, and... You know, if you don't have the same suit, you just draw another card. So, yeah, so then I continued, as he said, to draw at least 20 cards before I got...
It was crazy.
It was ridiculous.
It was hilarious.
It was so funny, though.
Yeah.
So karma.
Our neighbors, oh, man, in the hotel.
They probably hated us.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely did.
So that was part of our first game. We'll let you know we were playing it wrong.
Yeah,
yes.
We looked at the rules.
Right.
Entirely
it
wrong.
It has to be 2. So it has to be like a zombie, and then someone plays another zombie, and then the special action happens.
Right. If you play the same character on top of another.
We played it once that way.
We
and
did.
It went a lot faster.
It did.
It actually worked really well.
And this gentleman's pitch was it's Uno, but it's a better Uno.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all totally agree.
Yeah.
I would much rather play this than Uno.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are an Uno fan, check out Rumble. I don't know. He might just be selling it privately, but I think it is on Board Game Geek. So you can check it out there. And it was fun.
Yeah, if nothing else, as you said, the characters are far more entertaining than just numbers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because, like, the mechanic of Uno that was fun when, you know, when you're, like, younger and all that stuff and playing cards, and it's like, ooh, red on red, oh boy. And then now it's blue. You know, that could really keep you on the edge of your seat back in the day. But... We've moved past that. We've evolved, I think. Yeah. And now we want to fight. and slam the table and do all kinds of stuff. And we can through this game.
Yeah. And like with most games today, special abilities always make it better.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So it's Uno with special abilities and much better illustration.
And I was about to say, I always am the artwork guy.
Right.
Like the artwork.
Yeah.
Are you always the artwork guy?
Almost every game, I'm like, nice artwork.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well,
he is a connoisseur of board game artwork.
Yeah.
So another game we played that night, we played a game called Lifeboat. And I picked this game up because I thought it looked interesting. And I had heard from a number of people that this is a game that can ruin friendships. And
so you thought, I want to play with my friends.
I didn't believe the hype.
True test.
And for those that aren't familiar with Lifeboat, what has happened is there has been a shipwreck, and there are a group of people sitting in a lifeboat, and you all take position from front to back within the lifeboat. Debris from the ship is floating past you while you're sitting in the lifeboat, and you're going to be picking these things up, and you are basically in competition with everybody else in the lifeboat. So you're picking up water, you are jostling for better position on the boat. And you can even get into scuffles and rob other individuals in the boat. The only thing is, at the beginning of the game, you are dealt two cards. And on these cards are going to be one person in the boat that you hate and one person in the boat that you love. And this is where the game gets a little bit mean.
To say the least.
Yeah.
So I'll throw out some thoughts.
Yeah.
First off, I think it's quite comical how even in a game that's primarily focused on survival, it also has a integral part of it that's entirely centered on greed.
Right.
And people being selfish and wanting money and killing other people. Other survivors. You're like six people left from a whole, I assume, large vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there trying to like rob each other on a lifeboat. I mean, what's that about?
That's, I guess, human nature.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a social game
deep.
For sure.
If you really start to analyze it, it can just take you in circles for hours.
It can.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that you're going to be picking up are weapons. So you're going to drawing knives out of the water and flare guns.
That works.
Must just be like on a plank. Yeah. And it's just laying on the plank. I don't know.
Just present. You got to.
But. When you attempt to rob another person, that person can actually call out and say, you know, does anybody want to help me? And at that point, the boat can become divided based on if you love this individual or not. Maybe you're in love with this person and you will just go to battle with them every single time. Or maybe you hate them, so you are going to go to battle against them. And that just adds a whole nother level of, I don't know, meanness, because you actually get to see, in your mind, you think, well, this person surely will come to my aid, and then they slide their card away from you.
And at that moment, it's pretty devastating.
It is.
But here's the thing. Game, like, as far as the mechanics are concerned, those cards, you get a bonus in points at the end if the person you love survived and if the person you hate dies.
Mm-hmm,
so that's kind of like what fuels it.
Right.
Because it's super annoying, because, like, the whole thing is, if you're at a table with friends, obviously, you're like, well, typically, if it's like Seth, for example, I would go to his aid. But then the game calls like, I actually hate Seth right now. So I will go against him. And then it's tough. You're very much divided.
Yeah. Yeah. And
the worst is when you love yourself.
Yeah.
So no one comes to your aid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No one loves you.
And that in the rule book, that is called being a narcissist.
Right.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And if you hate yourself, you're a psychopath?
Right.
Yeah.
And you just want everybody else dead.
Yeah.
I know twice, and I don't know how this happened, but for Kaylee, I ended up drawing the card that I both loved her character and hated it. And at that point, I had to choose which one was going to be worth more points in the end.
When our friendship got ruined.
I know. That I didn't believe the hype until that moment.
Hey, we're all still here together.
Right. And you know, I said we're actually friends.
I know. I still get these piercing glares from Kaylee, like from across the room every now and then.
Just to everyone.
Wait, not everyone. Anything. No. Just you three.
Yeah.
Well,
everyone in this room.
Right.
Well, the very first game we played, it was also comical because Kaylee and I loved each other but then hated ourselves. So
right.
We were two psychopaths in love with one another.
I gotta say, the one big memory that I have was when Seth got the kid. And he had this super annoying kid voice.
Right.
Just kept...
You need to whip that out, I think.
Oh, my God.
Can I have an example?
I don't remember it.
And I just know that it was late at night, and I was right. about to, like, smack him or something.
Seth did some pretty good role play.
Yeah, I was going to say, Seth really got invested in the role play.
Oh, right.
Before I move on from me being the kid,
right.
I was the kid, and I loved myself, which means no one came to my aid, and I was the weakest.
So I killed
right.
him.
Right. Kill me. She chummed the waters, so sharks would approach and
now
devour
he
me.
The water.
You did too. You did to kill
did
me.
I?
He did it just out
right.
of random spite.
I just wanted
he just
to.
Trump. Oh, <yeah. laughs> But Kaylee calculated
that's right.
murder
uh-huh.
against a child. So
well,
just remember that when
what?
She's that's, talking bad
I'm
about
a
us.
Lady.
That's how you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how you get in trouble. Yeah.
But anyways, continue to practice
yeah.
my role playing.
Okay. No, I was just going to
say. And that the one French thing that you could do when you're Frenchie was like.
That actually turned like German or whatever happened? Or...
Yeah, I can't do French except just going.
Right.
Baguette.
Right.
Oui,
yeah.
Oui.
One of the characters' names is Frenchie. He's obviously from France.
Obviously.
That was not one of your finer role playing moments.
No, I couldn't do French.
But
no, wait, you know, it was Jamaican. Was... That's what it turned into.
Oh, yeah.
It did at one point.
It was like a
well. Let's not talk about that.
A reggae
and then
Frenchman.
Like a foreign voice.
Right.
Oh gosh. Well, yeah, his best one was as the captain, though.
Right.
Because he both loved and hated the first mate, which was Adam.
Yeah.
So then as he would role play, he'd be telling these stories about how, man, this so-and-so, and just he's terrible. And then he'd, at the end, go, I love that guy.
Yeah, I'd be like, darn good first mate, though.
Right.
Yeah. I hate that guy. Better watch your wallet around him, but darn good first mate.
Yeah.
And
well,
yeah, I started off.
Pretty good.
I
yeah.
started off with a very, like, short story about, you know, like, my character and my relationship to the first mate.
Yeah.
And as it kept going, I just would keep telling the same story over
but
and
adding
over,
just
but
like one
little
detail.
Bit. So
yeah.
then I got like a harpoon or something at one point, and I was talking about how when I used this harpoon mm-hmm. and how I lost my leg.
Right,
like this. It kept going.
Yeah. Well, and every character has a special ability, of
yeah.
course,
right.
and every character has HP. And size. And size is what determines when you win a fight.
Right.
Even what a weapon does is really just add size to mm-hmm. your character, which is kind of funny. But so the first mate is the largest character. It's a size mm-hmm. of 8, which is kind of like his attack, if you will.
Right.
And his special ability is just, he's just big.
Right.
That's what it says, yeah. See, so in perspective, he has 8, and the kid only has 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you're the kid, you're just going to get wrecked.
Right.
Unless but he loves you.
Unless the first mate loves you.
Yeah.
Which never happened.
No.
But
no.
Best character in this game, though, is clearly Sir Steven. I'm just going to throw that out there.
He looks... Yeah.
He looks very dainty.
He's a tad flamboyant.
He is. Yeah.
Just a tad. But...
Right.
So we had played this game, me and Steven, with Adam's wife and...
Whoa, Miss Hodges.
Miss Hodges.
She's been on the episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry. And
I was like, chum in the water.
You got to play this with the right people because they did not want to fight anyone.
Right.
And it just was so boring.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, well, let's just find these birds
right.
and get out.
Right. Yeah. At the end of each round, what you do is there's somebody navigating the boat and they're looking for birds that show up in particular cards. And after you find, I think it's
four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after you find 4 birds, then the game is done. But I think you're right. And maybe it's just our group. We just take any game we play and just have so much fun with it, whether it's adding the role play elements or just going over the top. Like, I think some of the rowdiest gaming sessions we've ever had have been Love Letter.
Yes, definitely. Dude, if you play that game with me, just get ready.
It gets intense. We've talked about how intense it's gotten.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we even told the story of the one-on-one game of Love Letter between Haley and I.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one more quick story, though. I was always at the back of the boat doing the navigation. So I was mm-hmm. like, I was the navigator. And then I had 2 oars. Mm-hmm. So I was dual wielding oars, one in right. each hand, like just twirling around when I would fight people and stuff. It was pretty great.
That is a pretty cool image.
Yeah.
Just Frenchie, back of the boat, two oars.
Just like, that's nobody right. touch me.
Come at me.
Or else I'll turn Jamaican.
I guess the thing now we need to decide is, do we like this game?
No, I actually don't really yeah. like it.
Okay.
But it's not because of any experiences I've had. Mm-hmm. And I did enjoy playing it a couple times, but I don't have enough fun to really want to play it again.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have the staying power.
Not to me.
That a lot of games do.
I liked it. Mm-hmm. But it's just, as Kaylee said, it's very much dependent on what group you're playing
yeah.
with.
Right.
I liked it with our group, mm-hmm. not so much the yeah. other time that we played it.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to play it again because, for me, I like games that are a little bit different, that push the envelope maybe of a comfort zone, and this one certainly does that. Like, when you're trying to get people to understand that it's just a game and you can step outside the bounds of, like, who you are a little bit, I think this is a game that certainly can do that with the understanding that we all have to be friends again at the end of the game.
I would love to play this with all my older siblings. Uh-huh. It would be great. I could just picture yeah. us all just fighting each other, even though we love each other.
Right.
just be like, no.
I will cut you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Nice. I didn't actually feel like it was too terrible as far as like breaking friendships or whatever.
Sure.
There wasn't really betraying someone else. Like, from the beginning of the game, they're either going to come to your aid or not, usually.
Right.
And I mean, sure, they're going to kill you, but there's a lot of games where you're killing each other. So mm-hmm. to me, I'm like, okay, it's just another game where you're competing. It's not a friendship ruining game.
Right.
But I just want to yeah. throw that out there.
Yeah. You know, the cards.
What is it about it that makes it that way?
Well, the cards dictate who you're mm-hmm. going after and who you're not. But it's just when I think you do play with a tight group, maybe that you game with before, and you've got all these established allegiances and friendships, and then you go into a game where you actually have to break those per the rules of the game.
Maybe it's yeah. just that I would intentionally try and kill any of you in any game we play.
I think you're so right. Yeah.
I don't care if I'm forced to, like, if you're forced to kill me.
Because when I was playing this game, I would never try to fight you or you, because I know you two would go up to each other's aid mm-hmm. normally, except for that one where, like, Steven loved me, and so he would come. Mm-hmm. So, and I yeah. knew Adam would probably go with, like, whoever was the weak link, except right. for when he hated me.
Yeah.
So then that game I was just all ganged up on.
Right. So you have all these preconceived notions in your mind about who's going to come to your aid, yeah. maybe. And then it doesn't happen. And it's a yeah. little bit heartbreaking.
I guess. But yeah. it seems like it would be more heartbreaking if it was of someone's own volition that they decided to betray right. you. Instead of, I have to do this, it's my card, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I play the game based on the cards I'm dealt, mm-hmm. and but I can see how this would rub some people the wrong way. So before we move on to the final segment of the podcast, we have a quick X-Wing update.
Wave 8 has been leaked. So Wave 7 was mm-hmm. is the new bomber stuff coming out, right?
Right.
I don't even know if we've talked about that very much.
Should we have?
We mentioned it.
Yeah,
we mentioned the Houndstooth and how we predicted that and stuff.
But now, Wave 8 has also been leaked.
Okay.
Coming with it are Dengar's ship, the Punishing One.
Nice.
It's coming. Zuckus, his ship. It's pretty lame, but I think it's called the Mist Hunter. That's coming. What is it called? The ship from Star Wars Rebels. It's called the Ghost, and it has its little separate ship that docks in it. That's coming. And then an Imperial transport from Rebels that carries two TIE fighters. And you will actually fly this epic ship onto the battlefield and deploy TIE fighters from it.
I gotta say, I'm very much opposed to the Star Wars Rebels show, mm-hmm. but those ships do sound kind of cool.
They are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so new X-Wing ships have already been revealed, and right. Wave 7 isn't even out yet. You can't even buy them.
It should
them
be
yet.
Out soon, though.
Very soon.
I went ahead and pre-ordered the scrum ships that are coming out, mm-hmm. so...
And we actually have a side bet now on X-Wing, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
The K-Wing, I believe it was. I like the way it looks. I think the K-Wing's cool. Seth doesn't really prefer it that much. And then we were talking, well, is this going to show up in the new movies? And
well, yeah, what was the bet?
The bet was if it shows up in the movies, which I think it's going to,
the K-wing,
then you're going to buy me a K-wing.
Okay.
And if it doesn't show up in the movies, then I'm going to buy you something that you like.
Yeah,
it's the other ship that's coming out.
Bomber. Right. Yeah. So we've got X-wing betting going on.
I'm like 90% sure that K-wing's not going to be in the movies.
It's going to be there.
I got to say, I'm more with Seth on this one. But I mean,
everyone's just ugly. But it's also lame, and they're not going to put it in.
Well, it's from a different era, though, because the new movie is 20, 30 years, 30 years, right? After Return of the Jedi, which is when the rebellions really kick in. Mm-hmm. This is a rebel ship, so I don't know.
Well, it is actually a pretty later ship, but I think it's actually past these 30 years, so farther down the line.
I got to witness another really nerdy Star
Wars we'll cut it out.
You're not about to. It's already happened.
Yeah.
But the point is...
Well, she's referring, by the way, to the fact that several weeks back,
I had watched Star Wars.
Yeah, and I, following the movies, got into this whole long, detailed conversation about lightsaber combat forms and stuff.
Oh, I heard about this conversation.
Okay. It was awesome.
Clarification, that was intentionally to try and unnerve the other people there with our knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, I think it worked.
It did.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing, though, is if that was the intention, then we got far too carried away. Because even after we drove them out of the house and they left, we just kept talking, like, for another hour about Jedi and...
Yeah.
You probably didn't have to mention that part, but...
No.
Cut that out.
I had asked, and Seth told me that they were talking until, like, 1 or so in the morning.
It's serious business.
Yeah.
Pretty certain I left at 11.
No, it was later than that.
Let's talk about D&D. We have
initiative.
We have indeed started our D&D campaign. So as a service to the listeners, since this is our first D&D campaign and the majority of us have never even played it before, hopefully this will give you some insight into the do's and don'ts of playing D&D. So we had our first session not even a week ago. We have 5 adventurers, and we actually have 2 dungeon masters. Seth being our primary dungeon master, and then Mr. Gregory actually being there to keep us on point in terms of the rules.
Should we tell people what D&D is? Because there's a lot of stigma about it.
There is a lot of stigma, and
it's
I think
we should shed some light on the bad press and whatnot.
Well, what Dungeons & Dragons is it's a role-playing game. You are creating a character, and then you are guiding that character through an adventure and making decisions as if you were that character. Mm-hmm. So the things you do are based on who you're pretending to be. And then there's a lot of fighting, and there's monsters and magic and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But essentially, that's what it is. You're playing the role, and that can take on many different forms. And so I think where a lot of the bad press came from is just back when it was first released, people were really unsure about this idea of playing another character, like pretending to be a different person and doing these things. And that's what my parents actually, we were talking about it just the other day. And they were like, yeah, they had heard that it was just like really bad and they didn't know why.
Right.
But it was just something that people didn't know about. And
that's dad was saying that when it first came out, the role-playing thing was so new, but it really swept, I've said it like 8 times now, but it swept the nation. And it was just an unknown thing to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so because it was also new for the players, they got so invested in it that addiction to D&D kind of became a thing.
Right.
And people would just be so just engulfed in their character, just like at all times when they weren't playing the game, they were thinking about the game, and it became like kind of this problem of sorts. And that can really happen with any game, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. And even now, D&D, you know, whether it's a Dungeons and Dragons, the Star Wars roleplay, whatever it is, if you start into all that and you have a character, I can see where you could kind of go down that path of getting a little bit too invested in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you play it casually, I don't really see any problems. I mean, role play is now pretty much some form of aspect in like every game out there to an extent.
Sure.
There's a little bit of role play or characterization in this and that. Whereas like Monopoly and stuff, not really.
Right.
And then D&D came out and it was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But also, even further than that, you know, it's all about which campaign you're playing and what the story is.
Right.
And some of the campaigns are actually way darker and way more centered on all like the magic and all that kind of stuff than others. And that can get kind of weird if you're like this hardcore role player guy.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing, I think, is very casual. It's just a friendly, light game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's very much what we're doing is just like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Really. Exactly. I mean, it's just goblins, orcs.
Right.
You know, just.
Right. And I know I'll say, as churchgoers and leaders within the church, I think we're very conscious and aware of the material
mm-hmm.
that we put into our adventures. So I know a lot of people have issue with it because they've heard of adventures that are very demonic heavy, where you are battling literal demons and things mm-hmm. and people taking oaths to kind of these lesser gods and things. And yeah, I have a problem with that too. And
yeah.
It's just, you know, we're not going to get that deep. The beauty of something like a role-play game is that you get to make the story. Whoever's sure. in charge of the story drives it
mm-hmm.
and can make it as friendly or as dark
yeah,
as you'd like.
Yeah, I really don't think the problems associated with the game actually involve the game
right.
as much as it involves certain like players. It's, again,
yeah.
what group you're playing with mm-hmm. and how far that group kind of takes it. And what
the
do.
Player, not the game.
yeah.
I'm totally going to become evil and chaotic.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So let's
so
talk.
Recently?
I did find that, like, after our first session, the following day, I was thinking on it a lot and, like, reminiscing about the
sure.
session. And then I'm like, wait, what am I doing? And then I just kind of, like, moved on with my life.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
Thing, though, I compare it to also just about any game, like Dead of Winter, one of our
yeah.
favorites.
Right.
We have a crazy session of that. And, like, the next day, I'll be like, man, that game was crazy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I still don't know if that's necessarily exclusively some D&D thing because it's, like,
right.
so demonic or whatever.
Well, the thing that I would compare it to the most as far as people's concerns is games like MMOs, like World of Warcraft, right, where you're creating mm-hmm. your character and you're spending inordinate amounts of time in this world, in this character,
yeah.
and not paying attention to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get super invested and you're just, you know, constantly concerned with this as opposed to real life, then yeah,
right.
it's a problem. But, I mean, just like any game, you're going to be thinking about if it was a fun experience, and that's not bad in any shape
right.
or form.
Well, yeah, well, if you have a kind of a crappy life and you use a role-playing game as like an escape, well, I can almost kind of see why you would resort to that, but then that's also one of those times when it might start.
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy, yeah. Because then it's like you're always dreaming about, oh, well, in the game I'm super successful. I have all this money and I'm like this amazing cleric or whatever. And then you're just like always in the game instead of in your actual life, and you have to differentiate between the two.
Right.
So
yeah.
basically, Dungeons & Dragons is another game, and what you do with that determines what your experience is going to be.
Right. So we're going down a healthy path with
Boom.
D&D.
Just like we do with any other game.
That's
play.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully we will be squelching some stigma about the game, because I think a lot of youth would enjoy playing a role-play game.
I think so too.
But they don't have the opportunity because their parents or someone has told them that it's just an evil, evil thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we've mentioned in the past, role-play doesn't have to be exclusive to D&D.
No.
But there are a lot of other worlds out there that have a role-play element. So let's then now dive into our character makeup, our little crew of adventurers. And I don't know how much we want to go into story, because we are playing with the starter set.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really want to spoil
yeah.
a bunch of stuff for those that may be interested. But we can talk about our characters and maybe a few of our favorite moments.
You can
moments.
Talk about, like, instances that happened.
Sure.
Not necessarily, like, specifics. You know?
Right. So, Steven, what did you end up playing?
I am a human ranger.
Right.
Named Aradan. And he is an outlander. He's kind of like a loner guy. He's part of his description. I forget what you call it. I'm still not very good with the terms. It's part of the backstory, pretty
yeah.
much. But is that he's actually a bounty hunter. That's pretty cool,
yeah.
I thought. I don't really get too much into his whole story thing, but he's neutral
right.
good. So if there's the opportunity to help someone or save someone, he'll probably do it. But then when it comes to the enemy, he still has pretty much no remorse. So he's just kind of like...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like our characters are going to get fleshed out with each session we play as well. So having that initial backstory is good. It helps others kind of dig into who you are just a little bit. But I think the actual development of that character happens over the course of the adventure.
Definitely.
So, Kaylee, what did you end up... You were a surprise to me, actually, when you sat down.
She surprised everybody.
Yeah.
I was a dark elf. I can't remember the...
Drow.
Yeah, a drow bard.
Yeah. Chaotic evil.
Yep, right?
Chaotic
and evil.
That's what threw me. I was like,
the only evil person in our party.
Right, which is cool because you're going to get to do some fun role-playing, like totally stepping out of who you are.
Yeah, I wanted to go something that I usually am not in normal life so that I could just have fun.
Then you picked the wrong alignment.
Oh.
You know what, Seth?
Oh, going to get kicked in the teeth by a drow.
I'm letting it overcome.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn, we won't get it more into
that. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Nice.
It's dark elves for you.
Yeah. And I went gnome druid. And my backstory was I'm a folk hero. So in the village that I came from, I was in charge of the elderly village of gnomes. So the retirement community. Basically, and I am questing to find somebody to come back and help me take care of all these old gnomes who are causing so much mischief that I can't even contain them anymore.
What was your character's name?
My character's name is Long Branch Pennywhistle, and
we just called him Penny for short.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. And if anybody watches the show Psych, it's kind of an amalgamation of something there. So. Shout out to one of my favorite TV shows. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was the dungeon master, so I did not have a character.
Right.
Although,
yeah.
Well,
you get to play a lot of different characters over the course of the game, which is really cool.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We also, I should say, they're not on the podcast, of course, but Mr. Powell is in our group, and he's playing as a dragonborn paladin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a second gnome druid, which sounded terrible. I'm not going to lie. When it happened and she's like, oh, I'm a gnome druid, I just kind of facepalmed. But in reality, it ended up being pretty funny and adding some very neat little gameplay aspects.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even in the first game, because she was such like...
She was a BA.
Was epic.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
And Adam's like, I'm just going to go pet the animals and pray.
Yeah.
And we're like, over here just knocking them down like one after the other.
Throwing fire. Adam's putting out the fire.
Right, yeah.
That's pretty great.
So, favorite moments from our first session. I don't think we're going to talk a lot about our session much, but favorite moments...
My favorite moment was probably, I won't go into details about like who the character is or anything like that, but we had this captive at one point. And so first Mr. Powell rolled for persuasion to like question him and failed. So then Kaylee tried it. She failed. So then I rolled and I rolled for intimidation instead and it actually succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was going to get to interrogate this prisoner. And that was a lot of fun because asking the questions was fun, but like I went detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And this, real quick, this is the part when it comes to role playing that people might be like, oh my gosh.
Right.
But I had no like actual malice in my heart. You know, it was just light role play. And it was inspired by the show we comment on so often, Arrow. In that show, when he like interrogates somebody, it's hardcore. And he just like shoots him in the knee and stuff, and then rips the arrow out and all kinds of crap goes down. So I was inspired by that. So like I stabbed this character in the shoulder and started like twisting the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pulled it out and stabbed him in the knee while I'm like questioning him because he was giving me sass and I wasn't going to have it.
You got the information.
I got the information. Yeah. And then what Mr. Powell and I always did was debate. And so he started debating on whether or not we should kill him or not.
Right.
And I was sick of debating. So then I just cut this character's head off and just like ended
just
it.
Good. Because our group, we debate way too much. And it ended up that we had captured someone and they got loose because we were debating on whether or not to kill him or to tie him to the tree or to just let him loose.
Yeah,
so
they were pretty much... Funny.
every single stop we were fighting about something.
No, it was it was really funny because you guys would keep debating, and then I would just make something bad happen. You would get ambushed by goblins.
Right.
Well, we should have actually kept moving instead of just sitting here talking really loudly for a long time.
Yeah. I think the greatest moments in the session were the fails.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Powell, poor guy, everything he tried to do up until about the end just failed repeatedly. He's the strongest character in the group.
Dice and it
I know. I mean, at one point he was trying to throw this really light object, and he couldn't even successfully do that.
Right.
Mine was probably, Adam had reminded me of this, but... There's one point where I was trying to throw my dagger at something on the bridge, and I failed. And, like, as soon as that happened, like, water just came gushing out of nowhere, and I got swept away because of it.
Right, yeah.
And you lost the dagger.
And I lost the dagger
Dagger's
forever.
Gone forever. So
ridiculous.
I was not surprised as often, because I was always that trusty character who's on watch. I was role-playing as like a ranger type character, so I was always on guard or on watch. So everybody else is debating, I would get involved sometimes. Occasionally I would refrain. But and then goblins just start pouring out of like the forest, and I'm like, oh guys, look, there's goblins over
here. By the way.
And they're just over there fighting still, and I don't know. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
Another one was when I just charged into the cave while everyone was still debating on who to go first.
Right. That's part of playing your alignment, which is really cool.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. The chaotic alignment. Just, you're wild, child.
And I want to point out real quick. So I had like 6 skills or something, most of which with a bow. But so I was involved in all this combat and whatnot. Took no damage throughout the entire like 4-hour session until the very last moment in which an ally had a crit like fail and made a rock slide land on me, and I lost 3 HP from an ally attack, and I was unscathed by the enemy. I charged like this heavy character with a sword, and I'm a ranger, so I primarily use a longbow. I charged him with a sword, and it was super cinematic. I like dodged all this stuff unscathed, then my ally rock slide. It was so disappointing, but oh well.
And I guess the piece of advice that I'll have for those that are starting their D&D adventures is you guys are going to need to help each other, but you're also going to need to help the DM as well. And there are things called adventure hooks where situations arise and are obvious places that you may potentially need to venture into. And we had a particular situation where we had an adventure hook. It was clear we were supposed to go this direction, and one of the arguments was, do we go or not? And it was probably about a 10-minute argument.
Yeah, the very start of the game, even. Yeah. Like, we had just begun. Seth, DM, sets up the situation. I knew, because I've played, like, role-playing games, like, on the computer and stuff before. So I knew immediately, oh, this is what we're supposed to want to do.
Right.
And as soon as it happened, though, I'm like, that's what we should do. And then Mr. Powell and everybody just started the debate. Should we go there? Should we?
I'll say we're playing the Lost Mine of Phandelver, which is the starter campaign from Wizards of the Coast, their Dungeons and Dragons, their official campaign. And so there are 4 chapters, and we played chapter 1 in our first session, but we were very, very close to just completely skipping chapter 1 in its entirety and moving on, which it actually accounts for in the campaign book, and it tells you what to do. But the thing is, you're skipping this whole like fun adventure where you get loot, you get experience, you learn more things about the campaign.
Right.
So even though you could technically skip it, it's like you want to go and have these adventures. That's why you're playing the game. Mm-hmm. And then when you're player characters are debating, well, let's just stay with the wagon and continue down the road.
Right.
You're like, what are you doing?
Even when we're still at the cave, they're like, we should go back and check it out.
No.
They're like, no!
We were in the cave, and they're like, let's go check
out the goods. You were almost at the end of the cave, and Mr. Powell, again, was like, I wonder what happened with the cart. I'll go back. No, that's a terrible idea.
It was pretty great, though.
Right.
Even though it was a little scary for me. Like, no, guys.
Not ready for chapter 2.
Yeah. But it was just still a lot of fun. And things like that where you can skip the first chapter if you want, I think are really cool in games like Dungeons & Dragons.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of freedom in it. But trust in your DM.
Yeah.
He will provide opportunities and won't lead you astray. At least not too bad.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
I've got some ideas cooked up.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about do's and don'ts for first players?
When I first started playing, I had no idea. Like, I've never really heard about Dungeons and Dragons, so, you know, this was all new to me, and we go in, and we just kind of jumped in, so I had no idea what I was doing, and I was super confused at the first part, and I ended up being one of the first people to try to role play, and I didn't know what to do, so I was like, I'll just sit here,
right,
and, you know, do that, and watch a couple of people go before I do anything.
Which was quite comical, and rather fitting for the evil character.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first engagement the party got in, you just kind of sat out.
Well, I just watched, like, the gnomes get swarmed by goblins. Yeah. Everybody else rushes to their aid, and then there's Kaylee in the cart. I'm not doing anything. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Just eating an apple.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be good to have clarification before you start, and, you know, which die you're supposed to roll for what, and when, and what you add to it when you're doing certain things. So
it is pretty daunting by how much information there is when you first start.
Yeah.
And then if you're going along and, like, asking your DM, you know, what do I do in this case, or can I do this, then you'll figure out what you can and can't do pretty quick and how that works.
So like, after, as soon as we did a couple, it was like,
Yeah, I think the second session will go a lot smoother from that aspect. Because a problem with always having to ask at the beginning what the rules are is that it immediately, temporarily, but it immediately kills, like, the role play. Because it goes from the DM being the DM to just being, like, having to explain the game. So it takes you straight out of the situation you're in, back to the real world, I suppose you could say. And it's like, oh, that's the dice you use. Oh.
Yeah.
And then then it's back to the fight, you know? And so it's just kind of funny.
That you should know your spells.
Yes,
yeah,
sure. I had them at first kind of written down on my iPod, but I didn't have it with me. And so when it took our time for our second dungeon master to look it up and tell you what it was, you know, you just kind of lost that.
Yeah, definitely.
That role playing.
And it really seems complicated at first, spells do, when you don't know what they are, because they're pretty wordy and there's very specific. And so when you're looking it up and we're trying to figure out exactly what it does, whereas if a player has their spells written down and you can be like, okay, this is what it does, then you can move along a lot faster.
Well, yeah, like, now that we've all leveled up doing the first chapter, I'm supposed to choose spells now.
Yeah.
And part of me doesn't even want to, because it does seem kind of daunting. It's like all this detail and stuff you have to know. And right now I just have a bow and a sword and I just hit things and shoot things. It's so simple and yet still fun. And so now I'm like, do I have to choose spells? And I'm sure once I do, though, it'll be cool.
And I know for me that towards the end of the game, I finally put mine in front of me. And as soon as I did that, it was a whole lot easier because I just had them right there.
Right. So yeah, that's good advice. So for the DM, make sure that your players know how to engage the enemy and what they're rolling. And then if you're a player, make sure to know your spells and your equipment, what you're carrying and what you can do. Both get on the same page before you start.
Make sure, along that line, though, one of the things in particular, proficiency bonus. Get that straightened out at the start of the game.
Well, so we're talking a lot about the rules and know what happens. But to be fair, really, you figure that stuff out while you're playing. And so we broke a ton of rules in the first campaign. Like, way more than, like, even I realized. Like, I went back and was looking through and making sure. And we did so many things wrong. But that's okay, because, I mean, we're having fun. Which we're not just breaking the game.
Right.
But now, next time, we'll know what we're going to do and how this works exactly. So we're like, well, what exactly does a short rest entail? And I'll be like, okay, now I know exactly what that is and how that's going to look. And so,
I don't even know anything about the game, and I knew we did the short rest incorrect. Like, something about that just seemed wrong.
It was,
you know?
It was a little bit off. But the way we did it was pretty wrong, but the results were more or less correct.
So yeah, we will be doing these D&D updates periodically.
We'll come up with a clever title somewhere down the line.
So we'll continue to update and hopefully help those that want to get into D&D and other role play and just provide helpful tips. Thus concludes episode 15 of the Board Game Point of View.
It was a good one.
It was.
I think slobber knocker.
We
ran that back.
We imparted the knowledge hardcore on this podcast. So join us again for episode 16 later in the month.
Peace out.
Good night, everybody.
I have nothing else to say. Don't worry about that. Don't patronize me. Don't haze me, bro. You hazing again? No. It's full size. Don't make fun of my mic size. What are you trying to get at?